Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brandon Satram, and I'm excited to have Javier Lozano with me today.
Thank you very much for having me on here.
Sure. So, Javier, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a ASP.NET MVP and an insider out of Des Moines, Iowa. So I love anything that is ASP.NET related.
Great.
And helping the community out. So.
Great. And today we're talking about MVC Turbine.
That is correct. Right? Yep.
So why don't you give us a little bit of an intro to MVC Turbine?
Sure.
Tell us in the great .NET open source ecosystem, what sort of place does that fit?
So MVC Turbine is actually a very niche project because one of the things that it tries to do is it tries to build composition to ASP.NET applications. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you think about it from our perspective, is composition is something that we've always tried to do, but we've never actually quite got it right. Mm. And I'm not saying that Turbine gets it right, but it's a step in the right direction to get people talking about the subject, which we tend to forget.
So composition, most ASP.NET MVC developers would probably think of something like areas or even MVC contributes portable areas when they think of composition.
Yep.
What's some of the similarity there?
Well, the similarity is that from that perspective, from an area, portable area, you're looking more from a component, like a view or something like that. Well, what if something, if I want to reuse a logging way, so if I work at an enterprise and I want to do logging a certain way, and it always has to work the same way across my applications. Well, Turbine can enable something like that because that component could be easily plugged in into your application.
Okay. So, in the context of really the composition here is functional composition of stuff that, let's say, when I've done this in the past, is every time you start a new MVC project and a new working for a client, working in your enterprise, you kind of tend to redo some of the same stuff over and over again. You might want to bring in your ORM, and you have a lot of the up work to get some of that stuff done, and Turbine tries to meet some of that niche by allowing you to pop those pieces into your application.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, okay. And actually, that was the reason why I wrote it, because I was developing with the CTP or CTPs of MVC and so forth. I realized that I was, I hate to say it, reusing a lot of code by copying and pasting.
Yeah.
Because things, it was hard to solidify it into an assembly because the things were changing so rapidly.
Right.
So the thing is, it was like, how can I make this simpler so I don't have to think about the plumbing? I need to ship a feature.
Okay.
So let's do that.
Okay. So if we're getting started with Turbine, where's the first place we would go?
The first place you would want to go, and actually let me bring that up here, you will want to go to the CodePlex side. So all the bits are actually put out in CodePlex. Mm-hmm. You can go down here and download them. As you can see, we have I've had about 2,200 downloads already, and that 5-star rating, that's not me. So that was somebody else. But actually, you can go in here and start looking at the information. And actually, I did a Channel 9 introduction video with John Galloway, talk a little about, you know, kind of can give a little pieces about it. And there's also, here's all the information. I've done some podcasts on it and sort of get the message out to people, you know, about what it is.
Okay, so, great. So once you've downloaded it, what's sort of the first scenario that a lot of people tend to use when they're pulling the Turbine into the project?
The first scenario that they will want to use is, there's two ways to use it. There's one, either A, you just reference the assemblies, and then at that point you have to customize your application. Mm-hmm. Right? So you start removing things, start adding things, or you can actually, I've created Visual Studio templates, so that you can just go file new MVC Turbine project, and you're on your merry way.
Oh,
I don't have the templates installed right now, since I was going to talk more about the code and more of the features around it. But it's actually surprising because people really want that, and it was one of those things that I left to the last thing. And I heard a pretty good feedback saying, "Hey, that should be the first thing you work on."
Okay.
For the component.
But that's there, and there's documentation on the site on how to get those templates in.
Correct.
And things like that. Cool. All right, let's take a look at some of the code.
Yeah, no problem. So the issues, you know, the one thing that MVC Turbine does is it leverages dependency injection to enable this composition, right? Because if we talk a lot, look at it from an application perspective, you have your app and then you have things around it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somehow your app needs to know about those things so it can bring them in and interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you do that easily in the .NET world? Well, especially in a statically typed language such as C#, we'll use an IOC to able to say, hey, I want something of F.
Mm-hmm.
And if F is, you know, anything that said looks like it, bring it in.
So you're doing some inversion of control inside of Turbine, but are you using one of the popular open source containers to enable that?
Actually, I'm using my own facade on top of those containers.
Mm.
So the reason why I say that is because I do support Unity, I do support Castle, I just put a structure map and inject.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, each of them have their own idioms, and which makes them a great container. And they all have great features to use. But what I needed, I don't needed all those features.
Mm.
I needed something to, hey, I need to interact with a container this way.
Right.
I need to do this with the runtime and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I created a small facade on top of that. So you can literally switch containers if you wanted to. Because of, again, I don't know who's going to use it.
Right.
So
right.
It's hard to, you know, it's hard to not know who your audience
sure,
is
sure.
to be able to target that.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So what's this, the use case sure. that we're looking at right now?
So the use case that I have here is, again, more of that perspective that I don't know who's going to be using this container.
Okay.
So one of the things that I mentioned is I have my own interface called an iService locator mm-hmm. that allows you to register types into the system. Mm. So like in this perspective, you can say, hey, I have an iMessage service which defines my contract. Right. Mm. You know, get this, calculate that. And I have a class that implements that interface.
Mm-hmm.
So literally all that's saying is when the system asks for this, you're going to give it that.
Mm-hmm.
This right. for that, this
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the same thing with the iForms authentication service and the iMembership service, which, by the way, these come out of the box with the file
with
new
MVC.
With
right.
MVC,
right.
you know,
right.
kind of a show example
mm-hmm.
of that. So
mm-hmm.
this is kind of shows you, hey, here's how you plug them into the container mm-hmm. and they'll magically work. And the thing about it is that once you register this through here with the controller, now you can actually reference in that within your controller as a dependency, whether it be via constructor or via property injection,
mm-hmm.
and use it that way.
Okay. And so this, the iService locator interface you're using, you created that.
Yes.
So you made the choice not to take a dependency on another container for this instance.
Correct.
What was the rationale behind that?
The rationale behind was that is that the biggest thing is that for the runtime, again, I needed to discover things on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, it's like I could have developed all this in Structure Map, which Structure Map is a great IOC container.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that if someone were to say, oh, that's awesome, I love you, this is great, but I use an inject.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And how can I make this work with inject? Well, you're going to have to do this and
that. There's a wall of adoption that gets
exactly.
And
with software, is no, and that's what it is. It's that adoption is how do you make it easy to use?
Mm-hmm.
And providing that, you know, the slight, you know, a 1 degree of separation
mm-hmm.
makes it easier so that way anybody can do it. So if you want to create your own IOC container, you can plug it into Turbine and
know
your own merry way.
Okay.
So,
great. All right, so really, I mean, you want to leverage the pattern, but not
correct.
So much that you're trying to do the entire thing inside. You're not trying to create another
correct.
Container, trying to really leverage where necessary, but mm-hmm. also enable people to use their own, use whatever they choose, yep. and then enable that in the application.
That's exactly, great. And that's the thing. It's with when you develop applications, it's all about your flow,
mm-hmm.
being more efficient and trying to do the best that you can
mm-hmm.
to be able to crank out those features
mm-hmm.
and have a win with the app.
Great.
So focus on that. Everything else is just noise,
mm-hmm.
right? But we sometimes tend to focus too much on that and rather than actually doing the features.
Absolutely. Okay.
So
we've got this. We have a constructor.
Yep.
And we're injecting our message
correct.
Service here. And then what else do we have inside
so,
of this
and
controller?
Inside here, then we just have interaction with the service. So now, if you look at this, the controller is actually very simple. There's really
mm-hmm.
not much code to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be easily tested.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we can provide a mock for this or a stub for the mm-hmm. services and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And all the action cares about is says, hey, I care about getting an iMessage service.
Mm-hmm.
So if we run this guy, just hit F5 here, and you can see that the page, you know, it's actually functioning. And
right.
Put a breakpoint in here, and hit.
Okay. Yeah. We put a breakpoint in and run it again.
Yep. And
yeah.
I click on home. Did I click on the right thing? I don't know. There's too many windows.
There we go.
There we go. And you can see actually, and you can actually see that iMessage service is that implementation. You told it in the container.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's the runtime doing all the plumbing for you.
Right.
You don't have to know the internals of MVC.
Mm-hmm.
It just magically works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of because for a lot of developers, I think there is when you're introducing an IOC container, when you're actually starting to rely on services mm-hmm. to give you more of your logic. You're
yep.
maybe even implementing the repository pattern
mm-hmm.
for your data access and getting an ORM
correct.
In the picture. There tends to be a lot of plumbing work, like you said, the
yes.
unnecessary stuff,
correct.
Not the actual end-user experience kind of stuff that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like with this, you kind of get this nice repeatable pattern where you can leverage those things
correct.
In a quick way, develop, and not worry so much about the plumbing
yep,
and how
exactly.
things are actually
yep.
happening. Yeah, that's great.
So,
okay. So what other types of things would we use this for then?
You would use this to actually, one of the features that I threw in there, just because I thought it was cool, And sometimes that's not a good thing to do features just because you think they're cool.
But that's open source. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly,
it's your project.
Exactly. It was my own free time. It was late at night. You know, I do what I want.
That's
so
right.
Watch YouTube and code, right? Yeah. So one of the things that I decided to do was I decided to create this whole concept of an inferred action. Mm-hmm. Now, an inferred action is by far is one of the most popular features of Turbine mm-hmm. because of how simple things are. You know, MVC is all about convention over configuration. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, some of those things get missed by developers, mm-hmm. or actually the message gets misconstrued because they don't understand what that means.
Right.
One of the things that I saw with the way the runtime handles things is that you always have to have an empty method to render a view.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have public action result about, and then always returns view.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, if you look at it from the perspective, that adds no value to your code.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have it in there because the runtime requires it.
Right.
Not because my app requires it.
Right. Another common scenario is people put error pages.
Correct.
Right? You put the error page in,
exactly.
You have to put that in the controller, and
yep.
There's nothing in it, just return view.
Correct. So. Exactly. So one of the things that I did with this whole concept is like, wouldn't it be nice if I just go against something that it just returns a view, and it infers that, hey, wait nice. A minute, I go hit the controller, hey, there's nothing here. Oh, you want the view.
Very nice.
Because I'm developing, maybe it's just a simple mm-hmm. about page, or mm-hmm. I just, everything is client-side with jQuery,
mm-hmm.
or I'm hosting a Silverlight controller, or whatever that might mm-hmm. be. It has no server interaction at all whatsoever, but mm-hmm. it's just a plain page.
It's very dry.
It's
right?
very dry.
You're removing
exactly.
some of that repetitive
correct.
Task and
yeah.
actually getting those views up. So.
Yeah,
okay.
And I kind of like to show you here, demos speak louder than words. We wait for the web dev server. Now, you see here that in the old days of MVC, you had to have, let me clear up some of this. You have to have actions defined for each of these.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the runtime with Turbine automatically did all this. So there's the details. And all these actions are actually being rendered on the fly.
No code needed.
No code needed to actually wire that up for the plumbing.
Right, right.
So, you know, great. Again, it's just you can add more yeah. things as you go along.
You still need a controller, though.
Yes, right? You still
okay.
need a controller.
Okay.
And I'm actually,
okay.
I thought about removing the whole controller piece,
mm-hmm.
but at that point, it's not really MVC.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So,
that's right. That's
so
right.
That's why I was like, maybe not right
it's
now.
It's probably going to be a few scenarios where there would be that many a controller with zero actions whatsoever. It just saves
correct.
You from that odd action that really does nothing but return a view.
Correct, correct.
Great,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so yeah. what other types of use cases are there?
The one that I mentioned earlier was, here it is, is this whole concept of a reusable component, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about logging, mm-hmm. right? As something that all of our applications have to do in one way, shape, or form, just to find out whether it's doing things mm-hmm. or an error happens or anything like that. So one of the things that, to kind of follow on this whole name of Turbine, like mm-hmm. an engine, like as you can see on the shirt, is this whole concept of a blade.
Mm-hmm.
A blade is a cross-cutting concern that your application will have.
Okay.
Right, and this cross-cutting concern could be logging, could be
security.
Could
mm-hmm.
be whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And database access, it actually is a cross-cutting concern. We don't think of it that way,
right.
but it is.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that mesh that you're going to have to put in your global ASACs because you're going to have to mm-hmm. Call a method. And if you look at your app start and your app end, there's a lot of boilerplate code mm-hmm. and a lot of bootstrapper code mm-hmm. that you have to dump in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a blade eliminates all that because it puts it into its own place.
Okay.
And Turbine knows about blades because the engine needs blades
right.
to do its work.
Right, right.
So we'll go out and leverage it, pull it in and say, oh, you're a blade. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I have to call you.
Ah, okay.
And I'm giving control over to you,
mm-hmm.
and you perform whatever tasks you want.
Okay.
So in this example, one of the things that I did is I created what I call a log4net blade. I use log4net for my logger mm-hmm. of choice just because mm-hmm. it's been around the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of tons of scenarios out there and a lot of open source projects supported.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that it does, the blade has a method called spin. Again, trying to go
mm-hmm.
with the whole naming context of it. And all this does, it's this type of code, actually, let me remove this here, would be otherwise put in your global ASACs,
mm-hmm.
right? Just
mm-hmm.
put it in there, and all this boilerplate has to be existing there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this lives in here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to switch to a different logger,
mm.
and log,
an Elma blade.
Or, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I just add it, and
mm-hmm.
it stays away. I don't have to come in here and change it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, again, dry, reusable components.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, you're going to be like, oh, well, you know, in this, you go to this source code of this application mm-hmm. and go change it here and go copy and paste. And, you know, we don't try not to copy and paste, but we always do it.
Absolutely.
Because it's
Absolutely.
Easy.
Right.
Because it has low low barrier
right.
to everything.
Right.
So this does that. And all it does, also, it provides a way to automatically register an iLogger.
Uh-huh.
This iLogger is my custom interface for the processing of logging, or whatever that be. So mm-hmm. again, if you have Elma or you have NLog, whatever mm-hmm. that be, you can actually attach that to it.
Okay.
And from then on, as you can see, this is a separate assembly, right? A separate project. And from here, you can take that log and reference that wherever you want it to. As I showed
That's
it.
It.
That's
just,
it. And it.
Just in your controller.
And it works.
And, great.
And
okay.
in the same thing, or even in your services. So give me a second. I actually look at the thing. There's a logger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can use it as much as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about this is that there's that separation, and I can do all the work that I want to
mm-hmm.
separate and test it and so forth, just the way I would do my application.
Absolutely.
But Turbine is sort of there to at runtime to make it all work.
And so you do you ship some of these blades as, this is actually part of the source, part
this
of the project
is,
proper,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
you can create your own blades.
Yeah, you can create your own blades. I created a Hibernate blade.
Okay.
So that way
to,
you know, because
okay.
if you look at a Hibernate, typically we want to open the session at mm-hmm. the beginning of the request mm-hmm. and close it at the end of the request.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot, again, boilerplate code around that
mm-hmm.
that I just did once, dumped into a blade, the runtime picks up, and it magically works.
Right, right.
So, that's one of the things that I'm actually focusing right now for the next version of it, for MVC Turbine 3, is focusing more on the blade and the extensibility story.
Okay.
And the reason why that is because a huge thanks to the ASP.NET team that they've taken some of that concern of IOC and dependency mm-hmm. and injection, all that stuff, and baked it into the framework.
Right. Right.
So that way, I actually deleted a ton of code.
Oh, great.
That didn't have to support because, uh-huh. you know, I'm now standing in the shoulder of giants. I just have to focus on these features.
Absolutely, yeah.
And again, let the runtime do more of that work. So now we can actually develop that story and actually provide more for the community.
Okay.
So
let's take a look at this.
Yep,
see
sure.
it in action real quick.
Yeah, so here, let me hit F5. And I apologize for my voice here. Give me a second. mm-hmm. Oh, whoa, what happened here? That's not good.
We'll restart the web server. There we go.
And as you can see, by I think I angered the
go.
Demo guy. So here we go. So all that is, it's just a plain, you know, MVC application. I'm just clicking on things.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
And the reason why I'm clicking on this is because if I can click here, here's Log4Net
mm-hmm.
doing
mm-hmm.
all its glories.
Mm-hmm.
And the runtime automatically just wired this up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go back and look at the code, such as this global filter, you can see global executing action. Okay, I put a breakpoint in here.
It's taking on action executing.
Yeah.
Yep, and on.
Correct.
Yeah.
So then I can click in about, and I hit on home. And you can actually see that I'm actually in here. And if I hit F11, la la la, the logger's not
known.
Because the logger, it's actually the implementation of the logger that it did.
Right.
And if we, you know, go deeper into the bowels of this, you can actually see that it's Log4Net.
Great.
Underneath the scenes, but I didn't have to think about Log4Net. I just mm-hmm. wanted logging
yeah.
and the runtime handle everything.
So let's step back a little bit to what's next. You mentioned
sure.
MVC Turbine 3, some
yes.
of the things that you're planning on doing in the future.
Yep.
So you were able to get out a lot of the code
Correct.
So that you can deal with some more of the dependency resolution stuff that's
Correct.
Been shipped in MVC 3.
Yep.
Well, what are some of your other plans in the future?
My other plans is actually to provide a more fluent way of registering and interacting with the system.
Okay.
And the reason why I said it is because that is sort of what the community is going towards, you know,
mm-hmm.
try to make it a lot more simplistic, so you step back away and less XML, more C#, more
mm-hmm.
curly braces,
mm-hmm.
so that we can step back and say, oh, that I can follow this line, you know, this flow of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm adding a lot of support around filters so that people can actually register those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also extending Razor. So
okay.
now you can have your own dynamic types on it. I have
mm-hmm.
my own specific Razor page that you can literally leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use pull the same services that are on the controller mm-hmm. on the view
oh,
with
cool.
very little hassle.
Great.
So, you know, those, again, shipping those little things that will make things a lot better for the developers.
Absolutely. And so anybody wants to find out more,
yeah.
it's mvcturbine.com.
That is correct. Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And thanks, Javier. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you very much for
this
having me.
This has been another episode of WebCamps TV, and thanks for watching.